Welcome back to Five Rounds Today. We are now joined by Josh Gross, a man that tells it how it is. Josh, thanks for joining us. Of course, UFC 199 went down this past weekend. The UFC had a huge announcement, a couple of huge announcements for them, the return of Brock Lesnar, and of course, this rematch between Nathan Diaz and Conor McGregor. However, MMA reporter Ariel Helwani broke the news, and then the UFC, the Zuffa organization, decided to escort Helwani and a couple of his co-workers out of the building. What was your reaction? Because this seems to transcend the sport of mixed martial arts. Everybody is talking about how this was a bad move by the UFC.
Sure, and those two co-workers were Casey Linden and Esther Lynn, who are great at what they do and have done nothing but put their effort and heart and soul into the products they turned out in terms of journalism, photojournalism, and video journalism. So, this is something that has been an issue with the UFC for quite some time. I know personally I have not had access to the UFC in over a decade because they didn't like my reporting and they didn't like my negative bent, I guess. You know, that's how they framed Ariel Helwani as a negative reporter. And according to Helwani, now he's saying that, you know, this is coming from on high. Lorenzo Fertitta directly is the one who made the call here. And even though Dana White was the one who gave the message, Dana apparently forwarded it. It was Lorenzo who made the call. I think it's a real misstep and short-sighted by the UFC. I felt all along that these battles with the media were battles that they could not win. Maybe there's a stalemate at worst on the media side. You know, for me, I was banned at a time where the media environment was much smaller than it is today. Ariel obviously has an enormous following. Nearly 400,000 people on Twitter follow him, and he's getting treatment from all the mainstream media, sports media, in terms of this moment when it happened to me. And when it happened to me, I mean, quite frankly, it happened to the entire MMA industry. You know, we were all thrown out in 2005. Most of the people have been reinstated in terms of credentials. I was not. I was told that, basically they offered me a job. I didn't take it, and they told me that was a mistake, and I'd regret it. And, they've held true to that. I think it's a shame. I think it's unbecoming of a major sports league, which they pretend to be. I think it's unbecoming of, basically sports media landscape. Sports are major business in the U.S. and North America and across the globe. And you don't see this treatment of journalists on a regular basis. It does happen. You hear stories about teams and different sports once in a while having run-ins with reporters and their access issues. I think one thing that makes us different. Sorry, my dog's looking here. One thing that makes mixed martial arts different is it's still a young sport. It's only 20 years old, essentially, a little over 20 years, and there is no unified association for journalists covering the sport. And I think maybe out of this moment, something like that, there's been talks along the way, talks I've been involved in. We went so far as creating, like, the Constitution and bylaws and all sorts of stuff. Perhaps now is the moment to really revisit that and move forward on it. And I think the journalists and the reporters who cover MMA and the UFC specifically on a regular basis, maybe this is a positive outcome. We'll see what happens with Ariel, but clearly he has my support, and I don't think he did anything wrong here.
Now, if you look objectively and you look at the UFC side of things, what would be the reason that they would do this? Is it just that they wanted to break their own news and they didn't want somebody else tackling a story that they had, obviously kept it under wraps for the most part, hid it from most media that Brock Lesnar was returning and that they've got this rematch signed? Why is the UFC so upset, do you believe?
I think that's just how they operate. That's the mindset of the people at the top of the company. It's they're not above being vindictive or petty. They have done great things with mixed martial arts and the UFC. They've grown the UFC business into this multi-billion-dollar brand. In a lot of ways, it's difficult to question the steps they've taken. But I think their steps with media along the way have been unfortunate. And again, I'm speaking from personal experience here. I think there's no reason to take it out on a reporter when he scoops you on something that's a pretty big story. And it was a fight announcement. You know, it wasn't as if Ariel was going out and digging and really sort of doing investigative work and uncovered something that's nefarious that the UFC has done. This was a fight announcement about Brock Lesnar. Okay, big deal. Brock was on SportsCenter today. You know, and, you know, there's what they did was, instead of having a great night of fights at UFC 199 being the talking point among fans and media, they created the story that didn't need to be created, and now everybody's talking about that instead of Michael Bisping's victory and a whole assortment of other things, and I think that's too bad.
Now, Josh, to have a good conversation, we need to look at multiple perspectives. And sometimes some of the perspectives are less popular. And so I'm kind of forced here at Fight Network. We've been having this chat today. And I don't want to be the guy who brings up the other perspective, but I'm going to ask you briefly to put yourself in the mind that you own a small company or a medium-sized company. Now, with that company, you have a certain amount of assets. And these days, with the change as journalism and sort of popular media have blended together, your company, one of your assets that you have, is an announcement, whether it's a fight announcement, the announcement of your new iPad, when a certain movie is coming out, the Beyonce record, whatever it is. That is a quantifiable, measurable asset now. It could be worth $50,000. It could be worth $100,000. It could be worth $300,000, depending on what you get in those minutes and hours that it comes out from attention, people looking, the moment where your company can get through all that noise and put out the information that they want that helps their company. That's a measurable thing. You can gain more followers on Instagram or Twitter or whatever. That's a monetarily measurable thing. You get all of that that you've built with this asset in your house. When you build that, and then somebody else can come along and do their job and do it well. But in doing their job well, they siphon off some of that asset. They take the money for the clicks. They take the money for improving their social media. They take the momentary attention in which you can sell other things. Now, you own this company, and this is happening to you. What do you do?
If someone comes along and reports a big news story before I get the chance to break it, I probably say, well, you know, they beat me.
About losing money and assets.
Now. Yeah, but it's not losing money, Rob, because you can't pretend like Ariel's audience isn't one that's excited by the news. It creates a discussion.
True.
It creates an energy.
No. What I'm saying is the moment of the actual announcement, the platforms that you put it out on get an attention that is a monetarily quantifiable attention in today's marketplace. That itself has a value. So,
that one particular moment is what you're saying.
That moment has a value so much. Much so that when The Rock was going to be on WrestleMania, he worked into his contract, maybe they valued it at $100,000, maybe at $200,000, that he got to make that announcement. It was negotiated in because of this amount. It would grow his Instagram. That Instagram growth would help for him promoting other things, the amount of attention he got. There's a measurable financial gain in The Rock being able to make that announcement on a platform he wants to grow. So much so that the company worked that in. Now, if you broke that news before, you have taken that value away from the person who has purchased in their contract the ability to make that statement. I'm not having an opinion here, right or wrong. I'm just saying that's your company or you're The Rock and this happens. What do you do? Do you look at it and go, we're going to lose a couple $100,000 every time. We no longer get to do that. Or would you take some kind of action?
I certainly wouldn't attempt to hurt the reporter who broke the story. And this is a difficult question for me to ask because my heart and soul is the journalist side. So
yes.
I am not a businessman. I don't understand that perspective. And quite honestly, as a reporter, I don't care about that perspective.
No, but I'm asking you if you.
I know.
Yeah.
You're asking me on the business side,
yes,
what I would do.
Yes.
You know, what I wouldn't do is try and create a firestorm and a controversy that wasn't there to begin with.
Good point.
You know, I wouldn't create a narrative that reflects poorly on me because the only attention really that the UFC's gotten since 199 has been negative in the press.
100% right.
And that's because of the reaction that they've done. So, you know, that's on them. Now, they could have ignored Helwani's report. It would have sat there. It would have been fine. 3 hours later, they would have announced it, and a lot of people would have heard about it for the first time. Most of the people in the forum, talked to people in the forum when that came on in the building, they had no idea that Helwani had reported it. So I think this is a pure overreaction by the UFC. It's unfortunate that they did that, and in fact, they're hurting themselves. I wouldn't have done what they did.
I agree with you on all those points. The only reason I bring up that other perspective is we all react. We love Ariel, love his show. We're fans. There's tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of fans. They see an injustice to him. People rarely look at, is this just an evil company? We all have evil companies in our lives. Or is this a business reaction, a business overreaction? But if you look at their perspective as an asset that they have, they measure, they monetize, that somebody else is now getting, isn't that something a business might seek to try to control?
Oh, they'd certainly try and seek to control everything. I mean, that's nothing new. I mean, the UFC has, in many ways, attempted to control the media narratives around their business. in 100 different ways, including banning reporters who didn't think fit that narrative. Mm-hmm. So those are not steps that I think most businesses would take. I don't mm-hmm. think most businesses would try and run up against the media and push back as hard as the UFC has mm-hmm. done. That's been the UFC's MO for many, many years, as I know personally. Yep. I don't think it really benefits them. You know, for me, I always felt like they wanted to keep me away because they didn't like the questions I would ask, yep. and maybe they see a benefit in that. Mm-hmm. I don't know specifically what it is with Ariel, other than what I've heard and other than what's been reported. The UFC itself has said, well, that he didn't check with us before he reported it. Ariel had no reason to check with them. It wasn't a story necessarily about the UFC or the UFC's business. It was about Brock Lesnar returning the fight. And if Ariel had that report accurate, which it turns out he did, I don't think he owes the UFC anything. I know personally that I've attempted many times to contact the UFC on stories that I've been working on and either been returned with no comment whatsoever, no reply whatsoever, or they told me to screw off in not so nice terms. So, yet I still continue to do it when it's a story about their business, like I wrote about for Deadspin last year in Vitor Belfort. Mm-hmm. I attempted many times to get their comment. That's not a story that's going to reflect well on their business. That's a story that maybe can hurt their business. But as a reporter, there's public interest there, and to me that was a story that needed to be reporting. And I gave them the courtesy of reaching out. They didn't give me the courtesy of replying. And so, you know, look, the media relationship with whatever industry they're covering is always one of balance, okay? Uh-huh. For the media person, especially as far as I'm concerned, their responsibility is to their reader. Clearly, the business's responsibility is to their shareholders or the people who are making the money. And, you know, these are competing interests, and they always have been, but they're important to balance those things. I think the UFC needs to take a step back, and I don't think they will. I think that, maybe they will because this is turning into a firestorm.
I think they will.
Yeah. This is turning into a firestorm that perhaps they didn't realize. They've done this thing to other reporters, and it wasn't a big deal, but this is a different time. It's a different media age, and Ariel Helwani has a huge, huge following. And he's also very respected by a lot of people in the mixed martial arts media and the sports media at large. So I think this will... If this isn't something that changes, if he continues to be banned, if that like actually holds up, I think the UFC clearly is just showing that for them, they run their private company as they see fit. If it's a personal vendetta against a reporter and that something that they want to maintain, they don't care. And they're free not to care, but the media is free to question and criticize and, in fact, take steps against that as well to protect themselves. And, you know, that may be happening. So, well, you know, we'll see. It's an interesting story. Yeah. Unfortunately, it's one that's all too common in mixed martial arts and it shouldn't be. I certainly believe that I should have access. Unquestionably, Ariel should have access. And there's other people who I feel the same about. So, you know, we'll see how it transpires. Right now, it's a big story, and unfortunately, you guys are having me on to talk about that instead of, you know, Michael Bisping's great win or how dominant Dominic Cruz is. So, you know, that doesn't reflect well in the UFC's business, and that doesn't help them or their fighters.
Josh, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the passing of one of the greatest entertainers, fighters of all time, and about the book, Ali versus Inoki, when we come back to Five Rounds Today.